Hello, everyone. This is Rico, and this is another episode of Treks in Sci-Fi, your bi-weekly dose of geek goodness. It is August 4th, 2024, and show 940. I would have normally done a video cast about San Diego Comic-Con, but I really didn't feel up to a video cast today. I've got a little con crud after San Diego. I'll talk more about that on the show, but I am going to talk about the con. I'm definitely going to talk about Comic-Con. That's going to be the main topic. I would like to do a show also sometime in a few weeks with some of my buddies who were at the con, like Kenny and Dylan and others. It's great to hang with them, and I'll talk about that too on the podcast today. But yeah, I'm going to talk about San Diego Comic-Con, which was, gosh, I can't believe a week ago today was my last day for Comic-Con, and it was a good one, and I'm looking forward to talking about it and sharing it with you. But got a little under the weather after I got back home, and I'm doing pretty okay now. But anyway, I'll talk about that more on the podcast in here in a moment, or a few or a few times. Anyway, here we go on Treks in Sci-Fi. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Treks in Sci-Fi podcast.
Scotty, beat me up.
Fascinating.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Okay, I'm back, and yes, this is Rico, Treks in Sci-Fi. If I sound a little possibly nasally or tired or a little bit of both. So, yeah, went to San Diego Comic-Con. I got to preface this by saying I've really had very good luck with, you know, over many years of going to conventions, not just San Diego Comic-Con, but the cons in Austin when I was going there. Local cons in Michigan. I've gone to a lot of conventions with lots of people. And I have really been pretty fortunate in that I haven't really gotten sick post-con, you know, the usual con crud that everybody talks about. So let's go back here. So San Diego Comic-Con, I fly out on Wednesday because preview night is Wednesday. So I have a pretty regular schedule the way I've been doing it for many years. By the way, I'm not going to do any preamble stuff, any other talk. I may slide it in during the show. I probably will. Like two things. One is I said the Deadpool and Wolverine movie. I'll talk about that briefly because I went to see it with Dylan out in San Diego and loved it. And then I also saw Twisters, the sequel to Twister, whatever, which it was okay. I saw that actually when I got back. Just about when I got back the next day. But anyway, so San Diego Comic-Con 2024. So I've really been pretty fortunate in that I have, even with all the people, I don't usually come back sick or anything like that. And I thought it was going to be okay this time too. So Comic-Con, I went on Wednesday, flew out Wednesday. Everything went fine with the flight thing, by the way. Even with all the recent airline issues, it was fine. Delta, fantastic job. They usually do a good job, my experience at least. And Detroit is a hub for Delta. So I fly direct from Detroit to San Diego. You know, everything was on time. Got to the hotel easily enough. Pretty okay hotel, the Hilton that's out in Mission Valley. If you know that area, it's 4 or 5 miles. About 5 miles maybe from the con or so. So you got to take a shuttle in, but not bad. I had pretty good luck with the shuttle for the 5 days I was there. Most of the time I was hitting it. I'll have a few shuttle stories here as I talk about the con. But right now I'm just talking about the con crud thing. So I was there till Monday. Con goes to Sunday at 5, although I left the con probably around, I think it was around 3 or 3:30 on Sunday. I'd pretty much had enough. But I just thought, let's go. And then I fly back on Monday. I think my flight out was around 11:30, 12. It gets me back about 7 to Michigan. maybe would better to be a little earlier flight, but you know, that's the way it works. So that was on Monday when I got back. Tuesday felt perfectly fine. Wednesday felt pretty good. Was feeling a little tired. And I thought, maybe I'm just a little jet lagged or something like that. I even went to, that's when I went to see Twisters. And then, which again, I thought it was okay. I mean, cool tornadoes and all, but kind of a pretty basic story. Neat to see in a movie theater, but I have more fond memories of the original. I think there was a little bit more to it. I kind of want to watch the original again now. And there's not really, I think there's the slightest of connections between the two movies. And then Wednesday I was feeling a little tired. And then Thursday I woke up and I had a little bit of a fever, was really tired, a little achy, a little bit of nasally something or the other. And I said, oh, crap. And Dylan, my friend that I met a few years at Comic-Con back in 2022, I think we met the first time at the good old, at the Star Trek, what was it called? 10 Forward, when it was 10 Forward, where we had that amazing evening when a lot of the Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks folks showed up at just, I didn't expect that. It was a little press invite thing. And yeah, that was great. But so my friend Dylan, so on Thursday, I started feeling poorly. So I'm texting with Dylan. He says, oh, I just tested positive for COVID. And I'm like, oh, crap. And the weirdest thing about this year was that I got a vax booster thing for COVID way back in September. And I had tried to go, I had heard different things that I tried to go get another booster a few weeks before Comic-Con. And I said, maybe I'll just go get another booster. And I didn't know you had to wait like a whole year, and they wouldn't give me one. You have to be either older or high risk of some kind or whatever. Or you got to wait at least a year between. And so September, I guess, end of September, I'll be able to get another one. Because I do believe those help, and not to get into a whole vax thing, but I do believe they help mitigate the symptoms. I don't think they stop. They don't do anything for catching it. But anyway, but I really felt tired. And then Dylan saying he's positive for COVID. I'm like, oh my God. So I take a test, and we have some old COVID tests in our medicine cabinet things. Anyway, so I take this COVID test. It was expired a test, and it's, you know, more than a year beyond the expiration, but I heard they last longer than they really say. So I take it was negative, but it felt like that. You know, when I had COVID a couple of years ago, it felt worse than, you know, at that time, but I was like, this doesn't feel like a normal cold or anything like that. So I don't know what it is. But a negative test. And then my wife, Lynn, she was heading out the next day anyway to go do some things. And she got some new tests. So that was like Friday. So, you know, 3 days ago, whatever. I take another COVID test. And even though I'm still feeling poorly, nothing terrible. Again, just the biggest symptom has been the last few days. Super tired. Today, finally, on Sunday, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm still a little tired, a little nasally. But other than that, not that bad. And I've had a little bit of a mild fever, but I didn't wake up with that either. So again, I think I'm over it, or getting over it pretty well, whatever it is. But so far, negative for COVID, according to these, you know, over-the-counter tests. And I know those aren't 100% perfect. For example, a couple years ago when I had COVID and Lynn got sick shortly after I got it, I'm sure we both had it, and because I was testing positive, but she was never testing positive, even though she got sick right when I did, basically, or a couple of days later. So I don't know. Maybe it was a COVID thing. Maybe it wasn't. Doesn't really matter that much. It wasn't that bad. But I've just been like, it's almost like I can't get enough sleep. I go to bed at like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and I sleep till like 8 o'clock the next morning. I don't sleep the whole time. I wake up a few times. You know, it's a little bit of a restless sleep. When you're sick, you don't usually sleep great, typically. But definitely doing better now. But anyway, I just felt like I don't really want to do a video show. I'm probably going to try to. I don't know if I'll get to it today. If I don't get to it today, I'll try to do it in the next couple of days. I'm definitely going to do at least one, maybe a couple of music videos like I typically do from the con. I took a fair number of pictures. I probably don't think I took as many like cosplay pictures as I have in the past. I was hanging out more with my friends and doing some panels and some press things. I'll go through each day kind of what I did. So I didn't get as many photos of just like hanging around getting pictures of people in costume like I did a few years ago. Kind of a bit regretful, but I mean, one of the biggest things of Comic-Con, especially San Diego Comic-Con, is, and this is true about any kind of event you go to, you can't do everything, right? You have to pick and choose what you want to do. I obviously couldn't be running around taking a lot of pictures if I wanted to go hang out with Dylan or Kenny or go to a panel. You know, you got to choose what you can do and when you can do it. So, and again, no regrets. I had a great time. It was super great weather. It's just always, San Diego was always super pleasant. A little warm, I guess. I mean, it is warm when you're walking around. You're doing a lot of walking around, especially if you're outside much. It's one thing if it's only about 70, upper 70s or 80, if you're just standing somewhere or whatever. But if you're doing a lot of walking, a lot of sun. There was a lot of sun this time. Last year, we had actually a few raindrops. Hang on one second. Let me get some tea. But I remember the last day or two of Comic-Con in 2023. Still reaching for my tea here. Sorry. Was that we actually got some cloudy weather and a few raindrops. But yeah, there were no clouds this year at all. So, but yeah, really overall, great con. It was packed. There were a lot of people. I think I've gone five times now. So I started to go in 2018. I went 2018, 2019. Then we had 2 years no con because of COVID. Then in 22, 23, 24, I went. 22 was the year where we came back, but it was masks. You had to wear masks. And I think you also had to show you were vaccinated or some other. There was another way to get around that if you didn't want to. I can't remember exactly. I was vaccinated, so it didn't matter. Last year was the strikes a week or so before Comic-Con. The writers had already been on strike, the Hollywood writers and screenwriters, whatever. And then a week or so before San Diego last year, the actors went on strike. So last year's con, we lost a lot because of that. And I think I don't know if people had tickets already, because you buy your tickets. You get normally for tickets, you're getting those in the fall. And for, you know, I get a press thing, fortunately, thank you, San Diego. But the most people, you know, you're buying the tickets months in advance, right? You're getting just like most things, any other big event. So there was no one knew that the, you know, actors and writers were all going to be on strike by the time Comic-Con came. But it makes me wonder for last year, like, did people just, you know, cause it was definitely felt a lot less busy. Did people just not go? Now, if you buy a ticket, a Comic-Con ticket, and you're, like, for example, out of state like me, you still got to pay for airfare, hotel, and all that. And that's expensive. Comic-Con tickets still cost a bit. But I'm sure that last year people just, you know, didn't go, that I already bought a ticket. Maybe they handed the ticket to a friend, even though you're not supposed to do that, right? Or they just took the money loss of buying the ticket and didn't go at all. But my point is that this year, 2024, it was really busy. And the first sense of this that I got, and I'll start going through, may take a break here before I get into a little bit more, get a drink. But the first sense I got of how busy it was going to be this year was on preview night. I get over there, and I've done this now a few years, so I feel like I've gotten kind of the feel of how things go. And I did, well, let's go back a step a bit. I had a press invite. I got a two or three different press things this year, which again, thanks to the people that gave those to me, different groups and stuff. One of them was for the Paramount Lodge, which used to be 10 Forward. It's this offsite place where Paramount, you know, puts up some kind of a thing for it's Trek related. This year, there was a lot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle stuff because they have a new animated series coming out. I think it's in a couple of weeks on Paramount Plus. for TMNT. And so they were giving out pizza. But anyway, I got a press invite to the Paramount Lodge. It was good from like 5 to 6 p.m. The preview night stuff opens at 6. So I went to the lodge, the Paramount Lodge, went through there. It was okay. I miss, you know, what happened a couple of years ago where people from Star Trek shows showed up, and there were some of the Orville people were there even. By the way, the rumor, Scott Grimes, one of the actors on the Orville, and Jay Lee also recently said that they're supposed to start production, which means, you know, pre-production slash whatever, in early 2025 for another season of the Orville, which I love the Orville and I hope they do more, but it's sort of an unofficial announcement, you know, not from Seth MacFarlane. It's not from Disney, who I think owns the property now, right? Or whatever. There's the big D23 thing for Disney. I think it's next weekend. So hopefully we'll get some real official news on that whole thing. But that was just an aside commenting on when I went to the 10 Forward thing 2 years ago when Dylan and I met, and different actors from shows showed up and everything, which was amazing. Never probably ever be able to top that again. But the Paramount Lodge, it was okay. You get a free piece of pizza and a couple of drinks or whatever. And so I went to that. Then, you know, I'm like, okay, the con opens at 6 for preview night. I'll sort of make my way over there around 5:30 or so, a little bit, something like that. And I get over there, and there's just a massive, like, amount of people in front of the building and in one big line. And I'm like, well, this isn't how it was in years past. What they did in years past is you could kind of get in. I remember distinctly, I think it was 2 years ago. I think they even did it last year like this, where they were letting people into the outer area. And then, you know, everyone was sort of standing by the showroom floor doors, and then they opened those at around 6, and you just walked in then. So you were already in the building, but they had this year, they didn't really do it like that. So 6 o'clock comes along, and then the line, the big old massive line out front starts to go. But it's only, they're filtering everyone through like one set of doors. And if you know Comic-Con, there's multiple sets of doors to get in. All along the front of the convention center, there's door after door after door, probably 10 sets of doors, maybe, or something like that. Lots of ways to get in. And normally during the week, during the rest of the days, if you don't just show up at, like, you know, an hour before showtime or whatever, when the con opens, you just walk in. There's never really a line. And then I was talking to some people just hanging around there, and they were all like, oh, yeah, well, they're doing this because everyone's been waiting in line and they're not going to open those other doors. Well, I'm like, yeah, they are. And so I just kind of hang around, and about 6:10 maybe, those other doors start to open. And then people just sort of like go right, you know, zip up to where the door is, right? You know, kind of crossing the line that's been there for a long time. It was kind of bad. I don't think it was very organized to get in this year on preview night. They could do a better job and have done better. I get it. They get people there lining up hours ahead of time, but, you know, they should just, like, say, don't line up ahead of time. I don't know ways around it, but, I mean, it's just the real one piece of advice for Comic-Con, if you've never really been, you don't really need to get there when it opens. Unless you maybe only have one day at the con and you want to really maximize your time. If you show up a little before things open, you can just walk in, and it's so much more pleasant and easy. I just don't like standing in a line. So that was preview night. So that kind of gave me an idea. Boy, this convention this year, and inside the floor, once I was in there, it was crazy busy. Busier than I'd ever seen it. And I met up with Kenny and Brian, and we hung out for a while, and then I bumped into Dylan real briefly, and I didn't really spend, honestly. I don't go there to buy much or even these big exclusives they put out. So preview night, I have it on my press pass. I just kind of go mostly to say hi to Kenny or whoever else is there. But it doesn't really, there's nothing there that I'm like dying to get, right? So like the only day I really bought anything at the con was on Sunday. And I'll talk about that when I get there. But so it's not that important to me. So I think I did. I don't think I think I stayed at preview night till like 7:38. I think it goes from 6 to 9. And then I left. I just took off. And because, I mean, I had four right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I had 4 full whole days left to go at Comic-Con. So plenty of time to see things and whatever. All right, I'm going to take a short break, and then I'll come back. We'll run through the other days, what I kind of did, and more Comic-Con talk coming up in a moment. All right, so that, let's see, that gets us to Thursday. Thursday, San Diego Comic-Con 2024. So Thursday, I did a few things. I saw Quinn again, Quinn from Canada, just over the river here from me. We met up, took some photos of some more costume people. I think I saw Kenny. I think that's the day he did his Orko from Masters of the Universe. By the way, he looked amazing. Great, great cosplay, Kenny. Really, really good. Got a lot of pictures. A lot of people were stopping him to take pictures. He really did a good job on that one, and it was great because it's not one that at conventions you see a lot of that, and it really was really well done. Great job. The other things. Oh, so for Thursday, the other stuff that I did though, that was the day I had a few press things going on. So there's a new show that's being worked on. Jonathan Frakes is one of the executive producers. It's based on a series of books by Arthur C. Clarke, right? I think I should look that up again. But it's called Venus. I think it's called Venus Incorporated or Venus Inc. They're doing a TV series, and so there's a press panel for that. The thing that happened, we get in there and there was a little rumor floating in the line as all the press people were waiting to get in, but they were like, somebody said, I heard Jonathan Frakes couldn't make it, something happened or whatever. So we get into the room and the main guy kind of running it or whatever, he says, hey, I just got to announce, unfortunately, Jonathan Frakes got something got held up with something. I don't know if he couldn't make the flight or if he was taking a flight or whatever the reason was, but he didn't get there in time. And then it was like, well, I guess we'll just hang here anyway. I mean, it would have been cool to see him and talk to him and talk about this new show that he was going to be working, executive producing, this sci-fi thing, But then we had these press tables set up and the other people came by to talk about the show. So it sounds really interesting. I'm looking forward to it. I won't say too much, but basically they're just getting going on it right now. And it looks like maybe a year, like next year at Comic-Con, they may have it's going to be a TV series. And there are a series of books. And the plan is to kind of do a book per season at least. And they're doing it kind of independently. And it's being sort of funded outside the studio a little bit. And it's also using this, what they use, that thing called the volume. They have a kind of a digital wall thing like Mandalorian uses. That's kind of how they're using and filming for this show. So a lot of cool tech was talked about. I think that'll be a fun show. I'm looking forward to seeing, how it turns out, and maybe next year there'll be another press thing for it, and Jonathan Frakes will be able to make it to that one. And then after that, there was a really cool panel that I also got invited to with Felicia Day and others. Probably Felicia Day, I would say, is the most well-known out of the group there, but it was for a sci-fi movie called Tim Travers and the Time Traveler's Paradox, which is a long title, but it's a time travel, obviously, story about a guy that I watched the trailer after I got back. I never got a chance to watch it when I was out there, and I got an invite to a press screening of the movie for the following day, but it just didn't work out with my schedule, so I couldn't see it when I was out in San Diego. because it's not been generally released yet. It did some, I think it had some screenings at some film festivals, and I think it was even up for some awards or won some awards. I apologize if it's already won some things. I think it did. But it's, I would say it's a little bit on the lower budget side, but Felicia Day is in it and others. Look it up on IMDb, look up on YouTube, and you can see a trailer for it. But one of the guys that talked about it, he sat at the table and we asked questions about the movie. And he was talking about he always wanted to do a time travel movie. And part of it has to do with, like, if you go back in time, you know, you can see yourself, right? There's two of you around. So there's a lot of there's a lot of things in the movie that revolve around sort of alternate versions of yourself based on changes in your past and things like that. So I can't say a lot based on both what they talked about at the press panel and also from the trailer and everything like that. But it looks like a lot of fun. Looks like it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek somewhat, the movie. But I'm looking forward to seeing it finally when I can. Again, Felicia Day is in it. She was at the press thing. She was great. She's always great to hear and talk to, and got to ask her a few questions and take some photos. So yeah, check out Tim Travers. Keep an eye out for it. I'll talk about it or announce it on the podcast when I see that it's, I don't know if it's going to have a theater release or if it's going to go direct to streaming. I'm not really sure what the plan is. That would have been a good question to ask. I don't even know if they have it decided yet, you know, if they've actually worked that out yet. But so that was another press thing. Those were kind of back to back on Thursday for me. And then, you know, the usual hanging out at the show floor and that kind of thing. I did that for the rest of the day. But yeah, Thursday was a pretty busy day. Oh, the other really big thing that was really cool on Thursday is Dylan told me about, there was an offsite location. Don't ask me. I forget the name. I took a photo of the little shop. But there was an offsite location where they were going to do a demo that evening. Well, they were doing a few of them throughout the day and then in the evening as well. There's a company called the Wand Company. I think they're based in England. And there were a couple of guys there. And this company, the Wand Company, has done a couple of really well-done Star Trek props from the original series. They did the original series phaser. They did that several years ago. Long since sold out. I've got one. Amazing item. And the really cool thing about that item is not only is it super well done and super cool, it wasn't really priced that high when it first came out. I want to say, I don't think it was even $200. I think it was like $150, maybe, was it? I think it was. It was ridiculous for what it could do and all the engineering in my opinion at least. Then they did a communicator from the original series, also cool. That's one you could actually Bluetooth. I played around with it a little bit. You can kind of Bluetooth it to your phone and kind of almost use it as a phone. And they're finally doing, out of the three main props a lot of used on the original series, original Star Trek, they're doing a tricorder. And they were demoing they had some demo units that they brought over, and they were demoing that at this location on Thursday evening. And Dylan told me at 7 o'clock, hey, they're going to demo this thing. Actually, I wasn't really going to stick around. I was going to just, you know, bend Dylan's ear about it and see his photos or whatever later. But that's a comment about, or this is what happened. This is how weird things are sometimes. But so I went to the shuttle bus, and for my particular shuttle bus, there's about four or so different routes, right? And you got to go on the right one for your hotel. But there was a huge line for mine. Like the bus hadn't come in like forever, it seemed like. And there was probably 100+ people in line. So even there were too many people to even fill the bus when it came. They would have to get a couple, 2-3 buses. So, you know, as I said, I don't like standing in line. So I said, forget it. I'm going to just go walk around town here a little bit, the gas lamp district down there in San Diego, and go see some things. And I popped into a place to get some food. And then by the time I did that, I'm texting with Dylan. It's like, oh, well, we're getting pretty close to when the tricorder is going to be demoed. So I made my way over there, and oh, am I glad. I'm so glad that I did, because not only was it cool to talk to these guys, you know, they really care about what they're doing and really created an amazing prop, but they were totally open to little suggestions. I even commented, I said, because this thing can do a lot. Like, they put all the recordings of the original series captain's logs in the thing. It can read electromagnetic fields, like around an outlet, air pressure. It just does, people would say, purists would say, well, the original tricorder didn't do these things. This is kind of like a hero version of what you might want something like this to do. Not only is it very accurate, they had gotten one of the surviving tricorders and took very precise measurements. And not only physically is it a very good match to the original, but it's got all these extra really cool functions that they're going to do. And they've been working on this thing for like four some years. I actually suggested, I said, hey, you guys should put an alarm clock in there so you can put it up on your bedstand and have an alarm clock. And the software guy, there was kind of a guy, it seemed like he was more related to the hardware of it and the look and the shapes and everything like that. And then there was the guy dealing with the software of the unit, and he kind of grinned and he said, yeah, we're thinking about that too. And then the other thing that I had told him, there's a little USB-C plug on the very back. It uses a rechargeable battery. And in the back at the very bottom, there's a little visible USB-C port to charge it. And I said, it'd be kind of cool if there was a little rubber plug that you could kind of cover that USB charging port, make it a little less visible maybe. And he said, hey, that's a good idea. I don't know if they'll do it, but I kind of hope they do. You could probably find something, USB plug, rubber plug or something on Amazon or somewhere online. I bet you could find something that you could probably make work for that. But I said, yeah, you should include that. And I think that'd be a nice little touch. Yeah, a really cool item. And they let us hold them and play with them a little bit, too. They had about three of them with them, I think. And so the bottom line is they've been working on this for many years. They're hoping to start probably pre-orders towards the end of the year. And then I'm going to say maybe towards the end of 2025, we'll get them. Maybe a little sooner if everything goes well. Who knows? We'll see how that goes. Long time in the making, and I'm going to buy two, I think. I just like, it is the coolest. From someone who grew up on the original series reruns, original Trek, and who built many a tricorder of the, they had that model kit, the Exploration Party, they called it, kit, which was undersized. They weren't accurate, but I built those. I built my own tricorder and phaser and communicators out of like cardboard and paper, and then eventually built some nicer models of them. I have a Roddenberry kit of the tricorder that I built, and that thing is a hot mess, if that's the word I want to use. That is not a simple piece of engineering. It's got a lot of little weirdness to it that makes it pretty awkward, honestly. But it's just a classic, and I'm so excited. I was so excited to see those guys demo that. So anyway, that took us through Thursday at the con. The one thing I say this, I think, almost most years, although I used to do a few more than I think I've done in recent years, but I always come back from Comic-Con feeling like I wanted to do more and see more panels and stuff. But I've been thinking about that the last few days. It is true. I didn't see that many panels, but I did see one really good one on Saturday. I'll talk about that in a minute. But Friday didn't really do much. I think I just kind of hung out with Kenny and we walked the show floor most of the day. That was basically that day. Not a whole lot else. There wasn't really a lot else that I wanted to do or panel wise or anything like that. A couple of possibilities, but I decided to just hang with those guys. But Saturday I had gotten, before I went to Comic-Con, I had gotten an invite. There was a big, they have all the big Hall H panel things Friday, Saturday. Well, I think it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They don't do them Sunday. But the only one there were really two on Saturday that I would have been cool to see. But I got one. I got to do one. I got an invite, a press invite, to go to the Hall H Star Trek panel, which was at like 1:45, I think it started officially. in Hall H on Saturday afternoon for, I think it lasted for about an hour and not quite 2 hours. They sort of do weird times, I always feel like, with those panels. But that was really cool because I just kind of went to there's a little side entrance to Hall H, and I was on the list. I got this little badge thingy, this little piece of paper, essentially. And then I would say, I'm trying to think of how many press people were there by the time the line got filled up. 50, maybe? Something like that. Maybe more than that. Could have been. But we lined up there. I ended up sitting down next to Larry Nemechek. Larry, say hello, you know, nice to see you. And, but yeah, we just waited out there for a little bit. They let us in. You know, Hall H, for those that don't know, they don't really clear the hall between panels. So there was still a whole bunch of people when we walked in, but they had these green seats, green chairs towards the front of Hall H, and that was for press or special guests, maybe not just press. And yeah, so I got to sit like really close to the stage, got to see all the different Star Trek panels. They talked about Strange New Worlds. They talked about Section 31. They talked about Starfleet Academy. They talked about Lower Decks. They even slightly talked about Prodigy, but more about Prodigy later. There was a panel for that I went to on the next day on Sunday. But yeah, it was very cool. I wouldn't say we got a lot of info. We got to learn a little bit about each of those properties a bit more. They didn't announce when Strange New Worlds is premiering. They did announce Lower Decks, the last season. Season 5 starts in October. I think it's like October 24th. So that's cool. We got to see a little preview for that. All the Star Trek, the whole panel, I think, ended up online, so you can watch it there if you want. The Lower Decks folks were probably the most fun, I think, in a way. That's a great group. They did make an announcement, which was sort of an odd thing. The hosting guy, who's a comedian, I don't really know him very well, and Tawny Newsome from Lower Decks, they're calling it a live action Star Trek comedy show. I have no idea what that could be, how they're going to do it. I'm going to kind of go out on a limb and guess it'll be maybe a short, like maybe it'll only be a half hour show, not an hour show. I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of just funny things. I mean, it was like I commented about a post I saw online over several days ago or whatever about people kind of, you know, there's a scene that they released for Strange New Worlds where this isn't a spoiler because it's been online for a few days now, but in the next season, for some other, you know, for some weird reason, they have to turn a lot of the main characters into Vulcans temporarily. They do Pike and others. You can see the clip. It's about a 5-minute clip. But I've seen people, you know, say, oh, that's just silly and whatever, and Star Trek's become silly, and why aren't they telling serious stories? I'm like, have you guys watched the original Star Trek, the original series? Star Trek has always sprinkled in some comedy and some fun episodes and things. The Trouble with Tribbles, A Piece of the Action. I mean, and then they also tell very serious stories. And Strange New Worlds is really following that format. So you need to go back and do your Star Trek history a little bit before you shoot off and say, you know, that's not Star Trek. You know, when did we have to become all so serious for every episode? That was one of my problems with actually Discovery, was that it was too darn grim and serious a lot of the time. Need to lighten it up a little bit now and then. So anyway, they showed us that. It was great. Again, thanks to San Diego Comic-Con and the Star Trek Paramount people for that press invite. That was very nice, very welcome. I would have not waited in line for that panel. I know Dylan tried to get in. Brian got in. He was able to get in. Kenny was in costume, I think, again that day, so didn't go in. I think he was in costume on Saturday. Yeah. So, let's stop for a second and talk a little bit about the crowd. So the weird thing to me about the crowds was that I thought Wednesday preview night, Thursday, Friday, were actually seemed busier sometimes than I did on Saturday. I think there were a lot of people going to the panels. So One other thing that I need to say is, so when you get into Hall H, when I was leaving Hall H after the Star Trek panel, it's about 3:30, I think, there was going to be another panel about the Penguin, that new TV show they're doing, based on the Batman character, the Penguin, which, I'm not really all that interested in because it's not with Batman, too. It's like, I don't know if I want to, I'll probably watch it. It's just going to be on Max, I think. But after that, at 6 p.m., 6 or 6:30, I think it was maybe 6:30 it started, they were doing a big Marvel panel in Hall H. Now, I could have just hung out in Hall H until then, after the Star Trek panel, and been able to see the Marvel panel because, you know, dun-da-da-da, this has been out for a few days, but they had a lot of celebrities there. And then the big reveal was Robert Downey Jr. is coming back to the Marvel universe in the movies, and he's going to be Doctor Doom. So everyone's kind of freaking out, like, oh, why are they doing that? You know, oh, that's dumb. But as always, I'm willing to wait and see what Marvel, why they do it and what's the reasoning behind it. But yeah, and then Harrison Ford popped out because he's in this new Captain America movie. So, you know, here, spoiler alert, he's Red Hulk. So because he's Thaddeus Ross, who's Red Hulk. So, yeah, just a lot of cool Marvel stuff. And then they did this huge, and Dylan works for this company that does this, but they did right outside of the hall, I think after the big Marvel show on Saturday, they had this huge drone thing, a display with drones making Deadpool, Wolverine things in the sky, along with, I think it was Saturday night. Maybe it was after the Deadpool movie, whenever they showed that. Maybe it wasn't Saturday night. I don't know. Maybe it was Friday night. Because with the Deadpool thing, I was thinking it was Friday night. Oh, that was chaos. Apparently, they had done an online thing, and you had to have a special ticket to get into the Deadpool thing, to see the movie there and whatever. I guess Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. Yeah, they were all there, along with Sean Levy, the director of Deadpool Wolverine. So I guess it was after that. But what happened, it sounds like what happened was that they let a bunch of people in without tickets, they said. And it just turned into chaos. It was not a pleasant thing. So I'm kind of glad it wasn't at that. But they did this huge drone display. Just search for Deadpool Wolverine drones San Diego Comic-Con and you'll see it. But yeah, Dylan, my buddy, works for that place. And I guess he went over and helped him do a little setup for it, he said, during the con. But yeah, that looked amazing. I wish I would have known about that and been able to see it in person. Dylan, you should have mentioned that to me. I would have stuck around that night. But all right, where are we at now? I guess this is to about Sunday, so we should be getting towards the end of this. So Sunday was a pretty quiet, casual day. The only thing, you know, besides walking around the show floor and buying a few things, which I'll talk about in a minute, with Kenny and other friends, we went to a Star Trek Prodigy panel that was on Sunday morning, and Kate Mulgrew was there. And some others from the show from Star Trek Prodigy, which if you have not watched season two of Star Trek Prodigy, well, if you haven't watched season one, then watch season two. But it's honestly some of the best Star Trek that they've done in a long time. Great stories, great characters, just some amazing things. A lot of great guest stars, cameos. And as everyone's been saying, it's like a follow-up season to Star Trek Voyager 2. So if you're a big Voyager fan, watch that. So, and Kate Mulgrew was just great in the panel. They showed us one of the episodes from season 2, which was cool. So that was fun. And then just basically spent the rest of the day, you know, walking around on the show floor and hanging around. And then taking photos, video, whatever. I took some with my phone, took some with a regular camera. I'll put up more of that stuff soon. Like I said, I'll do a music video soon. The con crud thing, like I said, is dissipating finally. I'm starting to feel like myself again. I don't know. Lynn just keeps telling me, my wife keeps telling me this week, don't get me sick, don't get me sick. She's kind of paranoid a little bit. Just, you know, no one likes to get sick. So I've been trying to stay away as best I can, and hopefully she won't. I think she'll probably be okay. I've had this now for about 3-4 days, and she hasn't really shown any symptoms or anything. So maybe, hopefully I wasn't, you know, that contagious by the time, you know, whatever. Who knows? It's so hard. I mean, I did see people with masks, and I don't, you know, if you want to wear a mask, that's fine. Even getting sick after these things, I when you're in these cons and you're in warm areas especially, I find it very, very uncomfortable to wear a mask. And I'm not in a risk group. I'm not, you know, if I get a little cold or I get something, it's not that big of a deal. So, and I've had really good luck. I was really kind of surprised a couple of days after I got back and, you know, feeling this. I was like, what? Come on. I don't get sick after conventions. I get sick just out of the blue on a weird day in a Tuesday in, you know, January or something like that. This is not when I, you know, I'm around all these people. Probably should have washed my hands a lot more often or gelled up, you know, with that antibacterial stuff. I probably could have done a little better of a job of that. I mean, I did try to wash my hands before I ate and stuff. But, you know, what can you do? And who knows where I picked it up? Could have been on the airplane ride home. Could have been at the hotel. Could have been even once I was back home here somewhere. A million. Who knows? It could have even been before I even went to the con, right? Because sometimes it can take like 10 days before you even show symptoms of something, that a bug that you got in your system. So it doesn't matter. I'm glad I'm feeling a little better. Like I said, I'll probably wrap up this podcast, but sorry I didn't do a video show for you guys. I will try to do something soon. Oh, one last thing I should talk about, some of the stuff that I bought. Didn't buy too much. Bought a couple of comics of this 19, it's called 19XX, this series that I bought a couple before. If anybody's interested in that, it's sort of a retro-y comic series set in the 1930s. Has sort of a little bit of an Indiana Jones feel to it that appeals to me. But I've seen this booth out there now at a couple Comic Cons, so I bought a couple of those. I bought Factory Entertainment is doing they have done a Enterprise in this little glass block. It's actually acrylic, technically plastic, but there's an episode of the original series, Cat's Paw, I think it is, where that happens to the ship, and it's sort of shrunk down and encased. So I bought that at the show. Factory Entertainment sells them online too, so you can buy them that way. And I bought a couple of little DC Superman gold. He's like a gold version of Superman with holding like kind of an eagle in his arm. Chris wanted me to get him one, so I bought one for him and one for myself. Actually, I haven't had a chance to yet. Maybe I'll do that later today, but I didn't even pull mine out of the box yet. I shipped Chris his, but I didn't pull mine out. And that's about it. I don't really buy. That's probably more than I bought at most Comic Cons. I really don't buy that much. I mean, one is traveling. I can only buy smaller things that fit in a suitcase, or I'm going to have to ship them home, which you can ship pretty easily from Comic Con. But I just don't want to bother with that, honestly. The truth of it all is that I can only buy small things. Although the last thing I'll talk about, Tomy, T-O-M-Y, about two Comic Cons ago, like 2 years ago in July, they put up for order. They are a company that does diecast replicas. They've done a lot of diecast cars over the years, but they decided they did a 30-plus inch die-cast Enterprise from the original series, the original series version of the Enterprise. They did this a couple of years ago. I pre-ordered one. I decided at the end of the day, nearly when they were being shipped, just before they were being shipped, I decided to cancel it. One, there were some things they did in the ending, the final design, that I wasn't thrilled about, but probably the main thing, honestly, was is I'm looking across at it in the room here, but I have a Master Replicas of that studio scale. Master Replicas original series Enterprise. That's a fantastic piece. Still works great. So again, if I had all the space in the world, I would have probably kept that Tomy TOS Enterprise. But I decided to not, and I canceled it. I still kind of have regrets. Maybe I should have just got it anyway. But they're doing a new one. They just started the pre-orders a few days ago, and you can still get in on the pre-orders. They're doing pre-orders until, I think, mid-September. I think it's like a 45-day thing. Just go to TOMY or search TOMY Star Trek or something. You'll find it. But they're doing the refit Enterprise, basically the one we saw in the motion picture, the first Star Trek movie. They're doing that, which for a lot of people, I mean, I have a great love for the original. The original Enterprise is still my baby. But that refit is a beautiful ship. I have a model that I would love to build and light and everything sometime, but who has the time? Especially working full time still. But the but they're doing this. Tomy's doing a refit, and it's $699. It's not cheap. I think the TOS original Enterprise was $600, so they bumped it up a little. But this is a more complicated Enterprise, truthfully. So I don't really deny them. You know, $99 more seems completely fine, but they're really listening to everybody out there, and I think it's going to be a great piece. Dylan was at we just had San Diego Comic-Con, and then Las Vegas Star Trek Con happened, and he sent me a video, and I've seen other ones too online. They have Tomy has that of whatever prototype refit Enterprise at that convention, so they're showing that off. But it looks good. They're really doing a good job. So if you're interested in a nice studio scale version of the Refit Enterprise, I don't think you're going to be able to beat this for the price, truthfully. So check that out if you want. So I did pre-order one myself, and they're projecting about a year out, like the fall of 2025, when we'll be getting those. And that seems reasonable. Once all the pre-orders are in, you know, about a year later, a little more than a year later to get them. That's not that bad to me. But yeah. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this just chat instead of a video cast. Like I said, even though I'm feeling pretty good, I just didn't have the extra energy to do video, and I feel I'm a little pale right now still too. So, but I hope everyone's enjoying their summer. Go to a convention if you can. It's a lot of fun. Even if you get con crud, it's still worth it. It was a great con. Really enjoyed seeing all my friends. You guys are great. Great hanging out with you again. Very much enjoyed talking to people. My wife, I've mentioned this before, we've been sort of toying with looking at houses and moving. We actually just went a couple of hours ago to an open house. It's literally like practically across the main road from where we live now. It's like 4 minutes away from my house now. Pretty good house, but probably got a few little things that we're not thrilled about, so we probably wouldn't do an offer, but a little pricier than we really wanted to. But the guy there, I was talking to him a lot, and my wife, you know, we're talking and talking, and then she's like, at one point, she's like, "Are you actually going to look at the house?" And then she kind of jokingly says to me, she says, "Well, my husband, he's a talker," or whatever. I said, "Yep, I am. I admit it. I own it." So, hey, I'm just a friendly Midwest guy. What can I say? So, all right, everyone, I'm out of here. I'll get this put up. I hope you're enjoying things. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. Keep an eye out. I'll put up some music videos. I'll try to do one in the next few days, like I said, from the convention. Everyone that cosplayed, you guys are amazing. Again, I feel embarrassed and kind of, you know, I keep throwing in my Star Trek. I have this Strange New World Star Trek outfit. And I keep throwing it in my suitcase. I did it last year too for San Diego, and I didn't wear it any of the days. it's just laziness on my part, honestly. It's so easy to just throw on shorts and a t-shirt and go to the con and walk around and be relaxed. Even though the Star Trek cosplay costume is not that, like, it's just a shirt and a pair of pants, right, or whatever. I mean, it's not like some people, the kind of stuff they wear, and they're dying in these costumes of how hot they are and everything. So, but nope, maybe one of these days I'll do it, one of these years. I was telling Kenny that I said, you know, I'd be much more inclined, like I was doing when I was going to Austin. It's more fun to do cosplay in groups, you know, when you're with others of a certain group, like when we've done Star Trek or Star Wars in Austin. It's a lot of fun. I'm all for that. But yeah, I'll get back to it sometime. All right, everybody, take care. I'll be back in a couple of weeks and talk to you again soon. Bye. Thank you.
This has been a Rick Dosty podcast production.